Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning reel.
You're listening like to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. Like that's 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Roy Masters, as announced, I think. There's terror going on in our world, and you need not to be terrified. Because if you are terrified, you will collapse and find yourself yielding to the biggest horse. Beginning with your submission to bullies, which sets the stage for bullying countries. Am I making that clear, I hope? So if you're an appeaser or a liberal who always wants peace but inadvertently causes war because the enemy is emboldened by appeaser. It's emboldened. Wicked people are emboldened by weak people. And the whole purpose, once an individual or a nation gets like ISIS, once they get the idea that we are weak, it emboldens them. That's where they get the strength from. The fact that we don't stand up like we should. And in time, which is very important, timing is everything, as you know. So, today I would like to talk, to break this program into two parts. On loving your enemy, that love, don't hate your enemy, if that's really what I want to say. See, love is don't hate. If you hate, you're in heat with hate. Just remember that. You respond to what is taking you over. And one of the most powerful forces is to intimidate you, frighten you into submission. That happens on a daily scale everywhere in the United States of America. Millions and millions of people are bullied into submission at home, at work, just anywhere. And so that state of mind is transferable to a bigger bully. So you'll see in many areas in Europe, you'll see, I don't know how to say it, Ahmad something or other. You know, I can't remember. It's, you know, this thing they say when they're about to kill somebody. What is the word, David? Ahmad something or other. David, are you still there or not? David, are you there? Nobody's there. All right. So he's my producer and he's not there. And that's okay. Anyway, so you understand that noise that make, that language they make before they kill something. God is great. I understand it in English, but I can't say it in their language. Sorry, say. But that God is not from this world. not from the beautiful world. That we aspire to as Christians and Jews and other people too, like that. But it is from the dark side of the force. I beg you to understand that evil is a spirit that infects people, and so is good that disinfects people. My name is Roy Masters, and we should talk about loving your enemy, because the present war with Muslim terrorists has all the earmarks of guidance by sophisticated Russian psychopolitical warfare experts. And the representative of that is your president, in case you didn't know. But if he wasn't black, you would have put him out. That's the cowardliness in America. He's black. That's it. Nothing wrong with being black. But the point is, we'd be accused of, you know, racism. You see, if he was white, it goes. they put him out of office in various ways. He may be gracious enough to leave if he's not programmed. Programmed person is going to finish what he's motivated and programmed to do to you. And that's what's happening to our country. He's causing us to seem to be a nation of appeasers, but it's emboldening. That is what emboldens our enemy. Our enemy is a coward. And if we rose to the heights of nobility and within our ranks, such as marriage, altered and reassembled, they will collapse in fear.
By the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening again. I do hope you were listening to my first 6 minutes. It's about loving your enemy. And I said, well, you love your enemy is love. Don't hate your enemy. Because if you hate your enemy, you end up loving him. I mean that. Now, if you don't understand that and you got a shock just now, then you give me a call, because I say to you, if you hate your enemy, let's say your enemy is your mother. So let's say your enemy is your father. Maybe your enemy is something worse than that. You will take on the identity of that nature, or you'll struggle against it. And embolden them either way, because if you are angry, then you will affect, keep in place your appeaser. If you're angry, you create appeasers. And appeasers owe their life to the bully. The bully and the bullying warfare, like the Muslim terrorists, ISIS, are all the earmarks of guidance by sophisticated Russian psychological and psychopolitical warfare, and they are experts at that, represented by our president, who's doing nothing except to make us look like we're weak and embolden his friends, our enemies. Okay. So if you can't see that, maybe you know there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your perception, or you love the enemy. It means you have attachment to what's wrong, to what's sick, what is wicked, what is evil. And you embolden it. And the more you embolden it, the more it wants to kill you, because you're a weak little nothing. And they look at you with disgust. Or if you're useful, they will praise you and use you to and even pay you to convert others. But then you become a bully to them. When you're emboldened by them, you become the extension of them. So that unconsciously you're just becoming a bully to a bully's bully. So we are facing a battle against terrorism, and in both foreign and domestic. And it is indeed a conflict between good and evil. People are cruel and warlike for two reasons: selfish agendas, or helpless victims, creating helpless victims, programmed to do to others what was done to them, etc., etc. And evil, either way, you're dealing with a resident evil in everybody. The evil is in the bully and the subject is in the bullied. And the bullied can be a bully if he's emboldened to, if he's paid, like in government. You know, I don't really respect too much people in government because they hide there from what is waiting for us from them, so to speak. So the enemy we're fighting is not a person. They are always spirits operating through the chief cook and bottle washer bully of every race and color and creed, of every flavor of color and culture. There's nothing new. See? So for this reason, we must be very mindful how we react to an assortment of outrageous injustices that come one after another. If it's one, isn't the government, it's from some people. If it isn't from your mother, it's your father. If it's not from your sister, it's your brother. It goes on. And all it does is feed your former primal conditioning. And that is creates anxiety and all kinds of attempts to escape the pain of seeing what you're becoming. And on this program, I would ask you to consider me not as an entertainer or as a talk show host, please, but look at me as I'm going to bring you good news. Good news about the fact that most of you are broken, whether you appear to be broken or not, you are. Robin Williams didn't seem to be broken unless you looked at his history, and he was so broken he killed himself. It was better than killing all of you, because he developed a compulsion to want to hate the people that love him. It's a love-hate condition you can experience in your home life. So your mother is popular. She loves you. This is Williams, Robin Williams. She's an entertainer. She loves. But she creates in the beloved an identity. Because to receive that love instead of God's love, mother's love is not necessarily God's love. If it was, I wouldn't be talking about that. There is such a thing as a godly love in a woman and a man. We can discuss that in the second part of the show, in the second hour. But assuming that she's ordinary woman like every other woman, and there's an ordinary man like an ordinary, as an ordinary man, what you have is a person who has been abused when she was a kid and becomes violated by mother. Now, the only choice she has is the only choice when she's violated. The violation takes hold and displaces the holy with the unholy inside the children. And then she she supports what's wrong with her. In other words, she demands love. She gives so much. And then the children will feel the pull at first. You remember the story I keep repeating over and over again with the little girl, Maggie. She calls me one day, and I have to say this every time I talk about the subject. And she always says, Grandpa. She calls me Grandpa because she was 9 when she started talking. And she says, is it okay if my mother, I say no to my mother's gifts because I don't really want them, and also to anybody. So there's 2 times she called me, and those are the 2 things she said. First of all, is it okay to say no to people who want to give you gifts? I said, do you feel the pull? And she says, yes, I do. Now, that's the pull of temptation. So to give yourself to that person, and if you do that, you will be forever branded, and it doesn't work, I told her. It's dangerous. It's like a man stopping in a car and holding a candy bar to a kid. And the minute he takes the bait, he gets into the car and he's gone. It's very similar to that. So the seductress, and we're not talking about a person who's purposefully seductive. We're talking about a a woman here, and we're not talking about only women, but just using this as an example. A woman here who has made up her mind by being angry with her father or mother, doesn't matter, the anger, she's going to be the opposite. And the opposite is an appeaser. And an appeaser seduces love from the victim. It doesn't seem like a victim, but there is a love-hate relationship, because once you take the bait, once you take the bait is love, which isn't love. It's not love at all, but mother doesn't know that. She's not doing it purposely, I'm sure. Although those who do it purposely, they know how to seduce, but mother is seducing the child to love her, because she needs that child's love for fulfillment that she lost when she was small. So the child's obedience is the fulfillment, the filling of her emptiness. And once you do that, she becomes addicted to being nicer to you, and you can't say no. Once you say, as a child, once you give yourself to your mother or your father or anybody, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, once you do that, you won't feel the pull anymore. You just feel like you love the person. And you keep loving them and loving them till maybe they're old age. And you never get married. It gets as bad as that. I can see 60-year-old people, taking care of the 80-year-old mother, but never got married because they need the love of their mother, the reassurance that they're good people. And they dare not back off, because then the guilt catches up with them, so they just bury themselves in their mother's love again. And sometimes mother's love is not good enough. So the more you try, the more angry she gets, the more angry she gets, the more angry you get, and the more guilty you become. And when you feel guilty, you're going to make it up to her. Because, well, if you look around, if you're one of them, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. You can get rid of your mother, but you're looking for love in all the wrong places, and up it pops. You're a slave again. You're a slave of love. That isn't love, though, is it? You say so. I didn't mean to travel so quickly and so early in the show, but I want to tell you that you are in terrible danger of fear, and fear is a very dangerous thing, not because only because I just said that if you have a bigger horse, like ISIS, or but somebody with greater influence over you, but it goes also to the terror that ISIS strikes in your heart, because if little things, if your mother can get you upset, your father can make you upset. And the teacher can make you upset and get inside you, and then you go along to get along with the teacher, and you'd be damned if you please him and damned if you don't. So what about ISIS? I said, every person who has fear is not made perfect in love. Now you Christians should understand that. Who hath fear is not made perfect in love, and therefore all who sin are slaves. If you will give me a call on this subject, 800-866-8883, and have a little parley with me, have a little discussion, because I'm looking for intelligent life in America. I know it's there, but there are good people, don't get me wrong. There are many people who don't believe Roy Masters or don't need Roy Masters. That's good. And when I'm finished with you, you won't need me, because I'll be damned for doing the same thing I'm warning you against. So please, if you're listening to this program, please don't put me on a pedestal, please. If you put me on a pedestal and make me too important, you'll have a false, at best, you'll have a false sense of being better. It's hypnotic. Don't do that to me. Don't put me on a pedestal. But don't take me off of it by looking down your throat at me, because that is also bad. And the defense against a charming fellow like myself is anger or contempt. And that is only if I was there next to you and I was a wicked guy, I'd own you. But you can do that with nations. One nation can own another, but America is a very bright and powerful nation. It's got lots of good people here. But the only way that anyone can hope to conquer us is to put fear into us. And fear is what makes you sick to death. And we'll talk about that after the break. Remember I told you that my family owned a radio station about 35 years ago? And we sold it eventually and gave the money to the foundation. I just wanted you to know that, which is a lot of money to the foundation. They used it to build another network, which you're listening on right now, but a little bit broken in pieces. But still, it is that. But every opportunity I had, where there was we had no sponsors in the radio station. It's the FM station in Medford, Oregon. I did an hour of Christianity today, understanding Christianity. And so what I want to do with you today is to remind you that we have 87 different programs that I did from the Kabbalah's manuscript. Kabbalah's manuscript is an ancient document which I love so much, more than my own work. And it's a Kabbalah's manuscript which came about being discovered in the Far East with What was the general's name as president, David? He was a general. He won the war. I can't think of his... Oh, never mind the call. Just give me the answer. The Second World War. No, it's not Patton. No, it's not. Never mind. Not my muffin. No, sorry, he's talking to me. Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me. I just can't remember that name. Isn't that ridiculous? But the point is, it appeared around his time and eventually disappeared into the Library of Congress. And it was really short versions of the Bible, but it was written in Aramaic, and he took the Aramaic and selected special words which had different meanings from what we think of as the Bible. It made the Bible much more provocative and wonderful. And so I did 87 of those hour shows, and they're available. I haven't got time to go through it because I've lost the information that was there on my screen, but I will get to back. Paul, would you put me back? If Paul is listening somehow, I've lost that list, and I want to read that list. But the first of the hours is the Adam and Eve syndrome, and there's 12 versions of 1 hour each on a cassette, but it's translated into, you know, the modern version. I don't know what you call the modern versions. How do we translate the old cassettes? What do we call that? David, convert it to what? CDs. I keep getting mixed up with all that. So because I come from a different generation, and I know what I'm doing because I use the computer. And so I have an iPhone, but I still can't, you know, make it. Eisenhower, that's right. So that's right, Eisenhower, thank you very much. You should have known that, and I do know it because I recognize it when you say it. So anyway, it disappeared. But I got a copy of it and made it into a book, a hard-covered book of about 100 pages. And I ordered 10,000 of them, but I didn't sell many because other things came in, business came in front with the kind of things that I'm doing with you now. But I beg of you for Christmas to get a copy of this beautiful little book. I've got 10,000, $10 each. And if you read it, it's excerpts from the Bible, but every place you go, you'll see an italic. Every sentence, little italics, and you go to the glossary and find out what it means in Aramaic, and man, it is beautiful. And so I have 87 versions of that. So every day for how many years I did, I've got 87, 1 hour, and I would have it up there on the screen, but I messed it and it dropped away, and I would give you the name of a few of them. But anyway, go call the office, or you can go to the website, but then I don't have the information in front of me. It's all disappeared. So I'll take my calls now. Thank you very much. Robert in Atlanta. Hello, Robert. What can I do for you?
Yeah, Mr. Masters.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. I'm a conservative.
Yes.
And you speak often about the need for the American people to speak out and be brave.
Yes.
And so there are a number of black conservatives and white guys too, but I'm referring now mainly black. We call shows here in Atlanta, and one in particular, they spread lies all over the place. And so we call in to try to counter the lies.
No, I'm not quite sure I'm following you there. You're in Atlanta? And,
yes, I am.
And could you just say the same, what you just mentioned again, please?
Well, when you start talking about speaking out.
Oh, yes.
We call radio talk shows.
Yes.
You know, us who are conservative.
Yes.
To try to correct some of the lies that spread it over that station.
Yeah, they do, yes, but there's something I'd like to say about that, if you don't mind.
Is it
because, you see, if you are emotional, you lose your intuition. You tend to lose your intuition and therefore become confused.
Right.
You could still be lied to, even though you can't stop people who are sensitive to lies to accept lies.
Right, I understand.
And they think lies is truth. My job is help the people to wake up so they can see the liar and catch him in the act.
Well, let me ask you this. What happened? The owners of the station, they went and hired somebody that was way up in politics. Really astute confusing. And he was way up in politics to try to put him beyond us. And I'm just a layperson. I don't know about political policies. I just know about common sense. So, I mean...
So, what's the bottom line, though? I understand what you're saying, but what's the bottom line?
Well, sometimes, you know, I want to call in, but I'm not sure. Well, to challenge this person.
Oh, I see. You know, why do you mean you're not sure? Do you have to be sure of everything before you do it, or can't you just say, I can't stand this anymore, I'm going to do this? I mean, somebody's got to say something, and you be the one that says it.
I do.
That's me.
I do.
Yeah, it's be that way. It's good.
Oh. You
need your voice. You what was that?
Well, what I'm trying to say is... I give you an example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
can I give an example?
Well, hold the line. Hold the line. Okay, let me see. The Kaboris manuscript. Let me see what's going on here. It may be a bit late, but here it is. Here it is. The Kaboris manuscript I was speaking about is a book and a CD pack available. And it was, you know, in President Eisenhower, that's what I already got. Thank you very much, Paul. I forgot him and a gentleman in the studio awakened me to that word, to that memory. Thank you. We have 89 Christianity Today downloads currently available. In other words, in that radio station, when things were quiet, I would pick up the Kaboris manuscript, which is that book, little booklet I have. I loved it so much. And it's a translation from the Aramaic with those little italicized words that lead you to the appendix to understand what they meant in Aramaic. And those one word can actually to fill a whole page. And then you put that meaning into where the italics were. You bring it back in your mind, of course. And then all of a sudden, the scripture comes to life. So look what I got here. Adam and Eve 1 through 13. Each one is an hour. Injustice. Love your brother. Man without sin. Judge not lest you be judged. Seek first the kingdom. Jesus of Nazareth. Kaboris manuscript. Christianity, is it Christianity a religion? Jesus came to save us from religion. Malice towards your brother. These are very small words, so I'm having trouble reading it. If you can make the words bigger, it'd be better. Love thy neighbor. Christianity, fulfillment of Judaism. The wordless truth. Returning to spiritual principles. Condemn lest you be condemned. And so on and so forth. It goes to 87 of those. These were on cassettes, 1 hour. And if you go to the website, you'll see it. Now, I need someone, because I'm not been prepared for this. Paul, please show me on the screen where I should direct my audience to find these treasures, because they are spontaneous. And none of them has been edited. They didn't need it. It was out of my soul, out of my heart. And I think you'll find it beautiful. I don't think I could do it today. So this is the past, and it's now become the future. And please God, you'll get those. There's 87 of them. Because Christianity Debt, it's called Christianity Today. That's where it should be. See, so let me go take my screen off down and talk to my caller now. Is it time for me? Yeah, let me come back, please. And would you really help the caller to make a point? I'm not quite sure. Okay, I'll be right back then. Okay, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And you go to my website, fhu.com. Thank you very much.
Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit fhu.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, since that mistake with Eisenhower, when I forgot his name, isn't it terrible? I've recovered from that now. Thank you very much. So I have a caller from Atlanta. Robert, let me just speak to you first, if you don't mind. Would you let me speak to you first?
Yeah.
I understand talk show hosts, and I'm not a talk show host. They will always try to bring you counter lies, to counter the lies with truth, and truth being what is really happening, and where the bad guys think it's not, won't tell you that's happening, or they will excuse it and try to make you believe, you know, wrong is right, etc. But my job is this, is no matter how well a talk show does his job politically and whatever else, but especially politically here, because this is the danger. No matter how good he is good as a talk show host at convincing some people who see it anyway, and think, and but the missing pieces he provides, so that's also good. There are people who cannot help but see lies as truth. And no matter what this talk show does, talk show host does, cannot do it. My job is to verify it that way, and to so that the people appreciate that, but to go one step further, to help them, help other people who are broken and are mesmerized by communism and liberalism, mesmerized and loyal to it, as if they're keeping peace is really a cause of war, not realizing that, but they think they're, as an appeaser, they think they're lovers of truth and keeping war at bay. But the reality is that the appeaser, the liberal, is actually causing wars. And what, just liberals, people are decent and appeasing, and but they are further motivated by psychological forces behind them, pushing much to the left, communist left, pushing that compulsion to be an appeaser to the enemy, as if that would stop the enemy, as in love your enemy. You see, because many people in America, all too many people in America, are mesmerized and broken and demoralized to the point of appeasing others as if it was love. But this doesn't stay with in this country or with just your friend.
What I'm asking, though, Mr. Master, would you call an individual if you knew that you couldn't get the up on him, if you couldn't prove the upside?
Well, I wouldn't want to. If I can't prove the other side, I wouldn't speak up. But if I see the other side, I speak up.
Yeah, I get that.
See, I speak. Yeah. I speak up. I'm on the radio program. Nobody speaks up to me. I've been 55 years on the air. I don't remember anybody speaking up to me.
Yeah.
I overpower them. Them, and I tell you, it's simple. The secret is this: don't hate your adversary. Love, don't hate him. And I define the word love by not hate. So to make it clear, you become a better person. If you can learn not to hate the liar, not to hate the wicked one, not to hate the beast, because he wants you to hate them. That's how he gets to you and controls you and makes you rebellious, and so that you strike at the wrong time. If you have to strike, you strike at the wrong time. You're so angry you can't wait to get hold of him, the swine, so to speak. On the other hand, the only other alternative to that reaction is to become an appeaser. And appeaser is dangerous to our country.
Yeah,
all those people on the left are dangerous to America. Obama. No, Obama is a communist. So behind them is the psychological warfare of communism. See, behind them, encouraging them that way.
And that's why I call you to, you know, find out straight. I call this deceitful individual at all costs, whether I win or lose. Should I call him when I think I'm right?
As long as you don't lose your cool, And the longer you make an honest try to, you have a good view of the situation, then you don't have any fear. You don't see if I don't mess with I don't bother with calling to the talk show hosts. Not when I was young. I was invited to be a guest at talk show hosts, and I took the talk show host to task nearly every time. And beat him.
Well, you answered my question. You answered my question. I just kind of want to get a general idea of how to deal with this.
Well, you are a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your call. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so, yes, my job, just to change the subject just a little bit, and to recover a little bit from my faux pas. We always have those little things going on when you get this old. Is to continue with my subject matter concerning fear. And fear is because you're not perfect in love. So how do you overcome fear? And what does fear do to you? Well, in the last 2 days, today's Wednesday, is it? Yesterday's Wednesday, yeah. Okay, so Monday and Tuesday, I was talking to some people about fear, and I spoke about a lady who had something wrong with her breathing. And she had very little oxygen. And she is actually available if you want to talk to her about that, because she's sitting right now and taking calls at the office at 800-877-3227. She probably would like to talk to you about that, and that would be a good thing. You can sort of leave me alone for a while. No, they can talk to me about it, but it's okay to talk to her, because many people have heard this. My producer is talking to me, Maya, so I'm talking to him. But what I'm trying to make a point, and I want to go through the point, is she when she couldn't breathe properly, and she's almost 70, she had to go to a therapy, which meant a lot of electronics put all over, and to keep her awake at night or put her to sleep at night. She felt the fear and looked at the fear, because I've taught her to look at the fear and not fulfill the fear, not be upset by seeing the fear, not struggling to see the fear, but see the fear with the inner light. And I hope you will call me about inner light. See, there's the light of the sun, and there's the light of S-U-N, and then there's the light of the sun, S-O-N, if you see what I mean. And so when you look at when you're willing to see your fault, which most people don't want to, for which reason they stay blind. See, there's none so blind as those who do not want to see. And so the tendency for everybody, a tendency, not everybody doing it, but a tendency everybody to suppress it or take your frustration and the judgment on you to become a judgment on somebody else, so that they can feel what you feel and you can be above them in your judgment. And so the best thing that a person can do is to look at the fear. And in her case, the minute she started to see the fear of having to go through all those contraptions of those electronic devices and all the time it takes, the minute she saw the fear, she started to breathe again. And it was looking at the fear without being frustrated towards it. That was on the agenda of what comes up when you learn to not hate your enemy. See? So when you learn to not hate your enemy, you are becoming more and more free. You mean you're having been forgiven, and there's another word for that. What's the word I'm looking for right now? There's a word I'm looking for a word. and I may have to sit here for an hour and everything goes silent. Redemption, word on redemption. When you understand that when you were born, you were programmed almost within the first few years of your childhood, and that opens the door to fear through anger. See, anger produces fear, and fear in turn produces anger. It also produces fake love, looking for fulfillment, like the addict looks for fulfillment from the pusher that rises to the occasion of his needs, so he feels high. When people love you, you feel high. When you give yourself to people and they praise you for your kindness and graciousness, which isn't gracious and kind, but it looks that way, and therefore it impels them to give you that feeling, and you live off that feeling, but you become a slave to it. See? So there are so many different ways I'm talking to you about these things. So these little things are very, very important. It's life and death. Life and death, not only if the enemy comes here, ISIS, because they'll kill you because they'll look at you as little weasels. You little weasel, take this. I'll get your head. Or if you yield to them, it could be that they will praise you. And then you become the extension of them to other people. So if ISIS ever comes to this country and in mass, immediately that fear turns into respect for the enemy. Love the enemy. That's what people do. You see, to love your enemy to me, because I'm slightly more intelligent and intuitive, means love your enemy means love, don't hate your enemy. All right, let me explain it again. And maybe you could make up for my faux pas. I'm not perfect, you see, in what I do. Okay, I'm going to take these two calls a second. So let me just say, just quickly, and then we'll take my calls. So if you love your children and you want to be nice to them, that's okay. But what if your children are naughty and rude? Do you hate them? No. You see? Because that would be wrong. You love, don't hate your children, and that's what is the power over them. You just take it and let them vent. Take them and let them vent, and then pretty soon they wear themselves out and they say, Dad, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. Thank you. All right. So we're going to take Curon in Virginia. Are you the Curon that calls me often?
Yes, Roy. This is your old friend. How you doing?
How are you doing? How's your psychological disease?
My psychological disease has improved greatly. I'm kind of suffering with a grief of my sister's boyfriend committed suicide on October 31st. I'm grieving over that.
No, you grieve and over nothing. What do you mean grieve? What do you mean by grieving? You want to go back to being sick again? No, I'm glad you call me. So your sister's what?
My sister's boyfriend. She has two children by him. He committed suicide.
Do me a favor. You know, millions of people are dying all over the world. 250,000 Christians have been murdered with their heads cut off. Are you mourning about that? What good does it do? You only mourn and feel sympathy for them because it emboldens you, makes you look like a nice person, makes you feel like a better person. Oh, I feel so sorry for these people. Don't go there. Don't go there. That's their thing. And you don't know them that well. You don't know that boyfriend that well. You don't know his history. You don't know what he brought on himself. Why don't you knock it off and just go live your life? Say, listen, this is how you should live. And this is a point, I think, that will change you forever if you understand it. Every feeling you have invades you, causes an invasion or a reinforcement of what's wrong with you. So every feeling, so every high is a new low. Every new low breeds the need for a high. And these are feelings. You look, everybody listening to me, for the most part, don't realize how much damage they do when they enjoy something too much. Or when they, listen, I can enjoy a steak, for example, but I don't enjoy, oh, it's so delicious. That you understand there's a feeling. I can taste it. It's good. It's not good. And thank you for making the steak. But not a feeling is involved. I really mean thank you. But say, oh, thank you. So what? No, you don't need all that. You don't need all those feelings. You don't need those feelings of being sorry for people. Okay, we'll be right back.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, I just want my audience to know that Kieran has been calling me for years and years and years, and he's come out of a very dangerous psychological sickness. I forgot the name of it. What was the, what did they call it? Was, huh?
Bipolar smaller.
You sound a lot better. What, so what's this word appeasement? Skiberius of the bongo. That's my old favorite saying. This doesn't mean much. I see on my screen appeasement. Did you mention the word appeasement to David, my producer?
Yes.
You
yes,
don't.
I did.
But appeasement is like, yeah, appeasement to his mother or grandmother. You don't want to be an appeaser to anybody. You have appeasement is a feeling of worth. When you appease somebody, you get a sense of worth. That worth is worthless. It will destroy you. I try to tell you over and over again, do not allow a person to make you feel anything, especially anger and love. If you feel loved, you're not loved. You're being screwed. Don't you get it?
Yeah, I get that.
All right. So
I get that.
Drop. In other words, when people are nice to you, say thank you and mean it. And if people are mean, say thank you and mean it. You see? Simple. In other words, bear it. Don't hate the hurter. If you hate the hurter, it will get inside you and make you sick again. The appeaser will do it and the bully will do it. Both. So you have to be aware of the bully as well as the appeaser. And looking for love in all the wrong places, that's where you'll be. And you'll die there. What you need is to find the truth. Be still and know and find the truth that sets you free from both of those things. See,
so do I continue on with the old meditation or the new meditation?
Do it any way you want.
Okay.
What a condition I'd like you to be in is you see terrible danger and you don't flinch. You see an outburst
you know
of...
You know? Don't flinch?
No flinch.
So you don't flinch?
No. Okay. No flinch. I say to you, if somebody comes towards you with a worse than it is, you die without fear. Or the demeanor you carry will cause them to put down the sword. So one way or the other you win, because this life is learning how to deal with the dark side of the force. and to be a champion of good, wherever you find it. And to be the champion of the good, you cannot be persuaded to feel good about yourself or bad about yourself, because you have life, and that life doesn't have a feeling to it. And if life has a feeling to it, then the feeling of bad and the feeling that represents what pseudo-good is in the way of God's love that gives you courage under fire.
So can I just tell you some of the things I've been doing for about 30 seconds?
Yes.
I started a cleaning company, and I've been helping out with my father with his contract work and things like that. I'm just keeping work steady, and I filed my taxes and things like that. And
I love what you're saying.
My business kind of failed, but I still have a contract with the franchise that I started. So maybe it's an opportunity back with them. I got in all kinds of debt. I never really got out of debt, but my credit score kind of went up.
I understand that. But deal with
it. I bought a car.
Yeah, deal with everything. I got all that stuff. Deal with everything. The things that are good, don't let it make you too high. Don't get high when you... I just remember my kids. Well, not my kids. My kids were... some of them were part of the foundation on the board.
Yeah.
And they still some of them still are. And... But many years ago, they decided to get me a car. You know, I needed one because I need to go from back 60 to 120 miles a day. So they bought me a car with an open top. And they said, "How does it feel?" I said, "It doesn't feel anything. I drove away. Thank you." See, that's the way it was. And they're surprised. I was saying, thank you. Yes, I do appreciate the car. Yes, thank you. What do you want from me? You want me to smother you with love?
I get that all the way. And that's where the trouble comes in. And with other people, you know, I just can't let the feeling from them invade me, like you say, because the feeling, like, then I start appeasing them. And I mean, with the feeling from them, I get high off of it. And then
when
I get low, it causes a need for another feeling, and I start appeasing them.
Yes, I understand that. I thought we have sort of discussed that at length over the years that you've been calling. Listen, I'll say it one more time. If you meditate, you exchange the dark side for the bright side. Can you hear that? When you meditate, you be still, and the light, bright light catches up with you and throws out the dark side. And let me finish now. So the bright side is like a light of S-O-N, the Son of God. And it washes away all your anger, the tendency to be upset, and the tendency to be appeaser, looking for love in all the wrong places, because love is in your heart. But as long as you have them feelings of love, feelings of affection, feelings like, you know, anger and fear, as long as you have the feelings of pleasure, super feelings of pleasure that takes away the guilt, see, you will, the I'll tell you in a minute. Oh, just quickly, there's a passageway in your, from the light to the darkness that overcomes it. And if you have any kind of fear or anger or pleasure feelings in the place, the truth cannot come through that. It needs to be clear of both love and hate. See, and pleasure got to be clear. And there it is. Now, the Foundation, ladies and gentlemen, please support the Foundation of Human Understanding, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. It's FHU.com is the website, FHU.com/donate.